WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. We begin with new details on the 26-year-old Ivy Leaguer charged with last week's murder of a top health executive. Correspondent Jared Hill is in New York City.
This morning, police say they have new information on how the man accused of killing UnitedHealthcare CEO got out of New York. Investigators believe Luigi Mangione rode a bike through Central Park after allegedly killing Brian Thompson, then took a cab to a major bus terminal in Upper Manhattan just to go back downtown, possibly taking the subway to New York's Penn Station.
Police tell CBS News there is no indication Mangione was ever a UnitedHealthcare client. Thousands of people have returned to their homes west of Los Angeles, where calmer winds are helping crews battle a wildfire that broke out Monday. CBS News LA's Joy Benedict.
All over Malibu, crews are still repairing power lines, and Cal Fire allowed a soft opening, meaning those who live here can go home.
We are good to go.
Which is exactly what Susan Schutte did.
Feels good to have the power on and went to the grocery store and got food.
She and her husband escaped the flames Monday night.
Came out on Malibu Canyon. It was a wall of smoke and fire.
Overseas,
mass demonstrations are planned in Syria today to celebrate the downfall of the former president Bashar al-Assad. It's been nearly a week since Islamist rebels drove him from power, ending more than five decades of authoritarian rule by the Assad regime.
The BBC's Chris Barrow. Another tech billionaire is pitching in to help the president-elect. CBS's Stacey Lynn.
Amazon founder Jeff Bezos just gave $1 million to Donald Trump's inaugural fund. The donation comes a day after Facebook and Instagram parent company Meta announced a similar donation. Trump says he's returning to the White House with better relationships with both companies. Last week, Bezos expressed optimism about the incoming administration, describing the president-elect this time around as calmer and more settled.
New warning about cell phones, tablets, and the littlest of kids. Correspondent Torian Small.
Excessive screen time can lead to reduced sleep quality and duration in preschool children. That's according to research published in Early Child Development and Care. Researchers in China and Canada say all that screen time leaves young children's brains in an excited state, robbing them of much-needed shut-eye. It also affects hyperactivity and mood.
You know it's Christmas time when the tubas are turned up and ready to go at the Kennedy Center. Players young and old are performing on concert stages through the month everywhere. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
The Packers get ready for the Seahawks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers in primetime again in Seattle on Sunday Night Football. Seahawks quarterback Geno Smith has good receivers and likes to throw deep. I talked to Packers safety Xavier McKinney.
I've gone against him before. He does a good job of looking off. That's something that I noticed that's pretty big. I think he's had some turnovers this year, but he's a really good quarterback. He knows how to improvise plays. He knows how to win. I think that's the best attribute when you have a quarterback is, you know, getting a quarterback that can will your team to a win no matter what.
Men's college basketball, the Badgers hope to snap a three-game losing streak as they head to Indianapolis today to face the Butler University Bulldogs tomorrow, tip-off time at 1:30. That'll be followed by Bucks basketball from Las Vegas when they play the Atlanta Hawks in the semifinals of the NBA Cup tournament. Women's college volleyball, the Wisconsin Badgers against Texas A&M tonight in Lincoln, Nebraska for the NCAA Regionals. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Variety reports that there will be a new version of the film American Psycho. Good Lord. Even though this doesn't need to happen on any level, a new interpretation of the novel of the same name will star Austin Butler as Patrick Bateman. The red-hot Luca Guadagnino will direct the film. Guadagnino's two most recent efforts are Queer, starring Daniel Craig, and Challengers, starring Zendaya. Both films were nominated for Golden Globes. And things a really talented and incredibly famous guy says that nobody cares about news, the great Elton John says making marijuana legal in Canada and the U.S. is one of the greatest mistakes of all time. exaggerate much? John was recently named Time Magazine's Icon of the Year and told Time Magazine that as a recovering addict, he believes marijuana is addictive. I'm not saying when he wrote Tiny Dancer, Rocket Man, or Benny and the Jets that he was high, but he might have been high. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
It is going to be partly cloudy today with a high in the upper teens this afternoon. Tonight, keeping an eye on a system that'll bring some freezing rain and snow after midnight. It'll be light, but it will make roads slick late tonight through tomorrow morning. Tomorrow, some freezing rain and snow with highs in the 30s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, 7 below 0.
Dom Selvia.
Just P.S. here. Dom's out for a few days, so we've got friends filling in. Next time, join Civic Media's sports director, Jimmy Cuska, for, you guessed it, sports talk and local news.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. 93.5 The Tap.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Thank you, Don Rue. Good morning and welcome back to Up North News Radio, unabashedly Wisconsin, brought to you by Courier Newsroom and carried by our friends here on the Civic Media Radio Network at 7:06 on this Friday the 13th of December, 2024. Coming up, we'll be talking to former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel a bit about abuses of power. It's part of a subject of a public forum that he held recently and does from time to time, so we'll talk a bit about that. We'll also talk to Mark Jacob. We'll cover some of the media coverage of the Trump transition, and he's also going to talk a bit about another one of the many troubling picks by Donald Trump. This one would be an IRS commissioner who's all about getting rid of the ways that you track down wealthy tax cheats. Because when billionaires don't pay their taxes, you and I have to make up the difference. We'll talk to Dan Schumacher about sports as well. But first, it is time for the Civic Media Grown-Up Gift List Text to Win Contest. Again, download that Civic Media app if you haven't already. Go to one of the stations, any station will do, though preferably one that's playing, Up North News Radio. Use the text button at the bottom of the screen to send a keyword in by the end of each hour for your chance to win in this statewide contest. So folks listening on all the many talk and music stations around Wisconsin will be taking part. Each hour, an hourly prize winner is drawn, and this hour's winner wins $100 cash, and then everyone is eligible for one of the 8 grand prizes off of the grown-up gift list. Prizes include a snowblower, a luggage set, an espresso machine, humidifier, a robot vacuum, and more. Here is this hour's keyword. It's star, S-T-A-R, star, like on top of your Christmas tree, for $100. Text in star by the end of this hour as part of the grown-up gift list contest. Now let's visit with meteorologist Benny Merlot. Somebody got to explain how we're dealing with temperatures that include 8 below here in Chippewa. It's 14 below zero right now in Hayward. Wausau -6, La Crosse -4, Amory 7 below, Rapids 8 below, Green Bay -1, Madison's -1, Waukesha -2. Greg is in balmy Radio Park in Racine where it's 3 degrees above zero. But yeah, a lot of double digits below zero out there in the low spots. Brittany, how is this it for now? I mean, today, and then we don't get this far below zero again until next year maybe?
Oh, wouldn't that be nice? Yeah. I don't know about that one though, Pat.
I know. But a fella can dream. So
you can dream. I'll let you dream.
So where do we go from here?
No, only up from here, right? I mean, gosh, it is 17 below right now into Rhinelander and Manitowish waters.
What?
That is colder than the temperatures we hit last night. So the good news is the winds are very, very calm. So we don't have that wind chill slapping us this morning. It's just the dry, pure cold air. So we are warming up. Winds are going to switch to out of the south throughout the morning, and then they're going to start to get breezy this evening. High temperatures will continue to climb even through the overnight tomorrow night. So highs today will climb to the mid to upper teens and then going into the 20s overnight. And then we're going to smack 30s tomorrow. But there's a price to pay. A big, sloppy, messy snow system with a wintry mix and even rain is headed our way for Saturday. So this is going to push in by the afternoon, probably around 2 or 3, especially off into the western areas of the state. Now, we're looking at ice accumulations possible, especially tomorrow afternoon and into those evening hours. First, it looks like it's going to be icy and slick and slippery for the southwestern parts of the state. Then you warm up above freezing, and that switches over to rain as that rolls through the south and over towards the east. But for the north, we're looking at snow headed our way first throughout tomorrow afternoon, then flipping to a wintry mix where ice accumulations are possible through the evening and into Sunday morning as our temperatures start to climb above freezing. So everything that does fall will melt. We're looking at around 1 to 3 inches of a slushy, sloppy snow possible accumulating, and then a trace of ice to nearly a tenth in some places. So ice conditions are scary. Please take it easy. Even four-wheel drive won't help you in that. I'd avoid driving as those temperatures are hovering around that freezing mark.
I know, and I had plans to make a drive tomorrow morning that I think I may bump those up and make that drive tonight.
Yes.
To avoid, because, you know, it's not science. Oop.
Pat, you are breaking up pretty hard right now.
Oh, no.
You both are now.
I'll try to come back. One of the Star Trek things where I'm being beamed. But then I get caught up and
they're already trying to send you to the destination you're going to.
There you go.
Safely.
You know, but it's tough to know when the freezing rain's going to start or stop. So, you know, might have to make drive as soon as I can, which might be tonight instead of tomorrow.
I would do that tonight or hold it off till Sunday. One of the two.
Yeah. Let's see. Rob says, good morning from Tigerton. Clear and 5 below. Wind chill 5 below with light winds. Today, Anita is going to give me my haircut. I get my haircuts in exchange for plowing her sidewalk from snow during the winter. Greg, I hope you had a great birthday yesterday. Brittany is the official Wisconsin winter queen. I've got to get some Christmas shopping done this weekend. And then he says he has to work Saturday night and again Sunday. So thank you, Rob, for all of those nice words. Alicia says she's got to go to Madison and Milwaukee tomorrow. Maybe take off tonight, too, as well.
Yeah.
You know, and everybody out there just needs to be careful.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And also, be ready to maybe possibly lose power, too, if we do have enough
come
ice.
Come on! Just
Brittany!
One, two, punch from the Brittany DJ Flip Mix with to the bread basket with all the sad.
And yet she's so happy about winter, you know, except for those little, you know, life-threatening parts. That's all.
No, she's not. Yeah. She goes into them. She gets into a car and says, hey, I want to take video. Let's go.
Yeah, basically.
She's like a tornado chaser. She's like a storm chaser in the winter.
She thinks Twister is an autobiographical film about her life.
Yes.
I do.
All right.
Don't tell me.
And Alicia notes on YouTube, Kakana and Little Chute lost power this morning. So there you go. It's always possible in the winter. Tony writes, Greg was wished a happy birthday personally by Senator Tammy Baldwin. What a day.
Yep,
is this true?
Yep. And I was just hoping if the civic media gods above could somehow get me that video, I would love it.
Because that can happen.
If you watch the video of me, she does it. And I go red from like from five head to wherever there isn't beard on my face.
Don't you mean forehead?
No, I mean five head. It's serious. Okay. It's a thing happening right
now.
Oh,
I see. I
got some parking
it.
Spots here. Anyone need to park their new cars? Right there?
Was this on Matt and Air on Air?
It was. We had Senator Baldwin on yesterday to talk about all the great things she's doing right now.
And she wished you a happy birthday personally.
She did. She did.
Melissa cool. Schrader up in Merrill writes that Christmas cookie baking is on her agenda for
good
the weekend.
Plan.
This is a perfect weekend for doing all the Christmas baking.
Yes.
Yes. If I didn't 100%. Have to make this one trip, I'd be doing the same. So yes, do that and do it very safely. Thank you, Brittany.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Yep. Appreciate it so much. You can always get the Up North News daily newsletter. Sign up for it at upnorthnewswi.com. Some more ideas in there for Wisconsin-made Christmas gifts that you can get for yourself or send to others as holiday gifts. And also a connection there to last week's radio discussion about the Hudson School District, among the many trying to make some tough decisions after a referendum was defeated last month. Sign up again at upnorthnewswi.com. I should let you know that occasionally you will notice that flags are at half staff, and sometimes it's obvious why it is, and other times less so. And because the executive order has just come down from Governor Evers' office, I thought I would pass along that if you notice flags at half staff tomorrow, Saturday, it will be in honor of former Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice David Prosser, who passed away last weekend at the age of 81. And so flags will be flown at half staff tomorrow in his honor. Let's check a little sports at 7:15 here to tell you that the Wisconsin Badger men's hockey team will be in action tonight, and you'll be able to catch that game on WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids. The Badger men are at Michigan. Coverage begins at 4:30 this afternoon, and then tomorrow at 5:30. There's plenty of high school sports on the Civic Media app as well. And Badger men's basketball, you can hear that on the app or on stations in Amory, Rapids, Racine, Kenosha, and Richland Center tomorrow, starting at 12:30 as the Badger men's basketball team takes on Butler. The Green Bay Packers play Sunday night football at Seattle, pregame at 5 o'clock on WRJN in Racine, Kenosha, WRCO in Richland Center, and WCQM in Park Falls. Packer games are not on the Civic Media app, so tune in to one of those great Civic Media stations to learn more. And the Milwaukee Bucks play the Atlanta Hawks tomorrow in Vegas in the semifinals for the NBA's in-season Emirates Cup tournament. The Badger women's basketball team will be off until next week, Friday, when they play Albany. It's the Badger women's volleyball team that I meant to bring up here. They are in the NCAA tournament, the regional bracket. They play Texas A&M at 6 this evening. And if they win, they'll play Sunday against either Dayton or the regional one seed, Nebraska, for a chance to go to the Final Four. The Marquette women are in the tournament, and they face their regional one seed, Penn State, tonight. The Badger women's hockey team is on a holiday break. They will host Ohio State on January 2nd. And then 2 days later, both the Badger women's hockey team and the Badger men's hockey team will be playing outdoors at Wrigley Field in Chicago as part of what's called the Frozen Confines Tournament. There'll be three men's college hockey games and then the one women's college hockey game with the Wisconsin Badgers. Marquette men's basketball, they play in Dayton tomorrow night. And the Marquette women's basketball team will host Illinois State on Sunday afternoon. There'll be a lot to talk about when we come back with former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel. He has been, along with everything that he does, including having a talk show on Saturday mornings across the Civic Media Radio Network, he also occasionally helps put on public forums. And he recently had one that was called Pondering the Exercises of Federal Government Power in 2025 and Beyond. He held this at the Wauwatosa Public Library in the Milwaukee suburbs. And what we're going to talk to him about in part are some of the questions about what Congress is or isn't doing about the potential abuses of power in the White House and in the courts. And how does the promise of how some Trumpers call it a unitary executive lead to a commanding presidency? And what, if anything, can the public do about that? So that and so much more to cover with Jim Santel coming up right after this. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Friday the 13th, when you're here, you're up north. We'll be right back.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're an organ donor, right? Here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. We have state updates today, including North Carolina's Supreme Court race and a power grab by its legislature, ranked choice voting in Alaska, and more charges in Wisconsin for Donald Trump's fake elector scheme advisors. We reported December 11th that a GOP state Supreme Court candidate who lost by 734 votes and failed in two recounts asked the North Carolina Election Board to invalidate 60,000 voters. North Carolina Newsline reports that in a 3-2 vote Wednesday, the board rejected that request, though a court appeal is likely. Also December 11th, the North Carolina legislature overrode Governor Roy Cooper's veto of a bill designed to strip power from the incoming Democratic governor and attorney general. In an attempt to retain GOP power before it loses its supermajority, the authority to appoint election board members was shifted to the state auditor, a Republican. The attorney general was also stripped of any ability to bring suit against legislation proposed by the legislature. In Alaska, a recount of the attempted repeal of ranked choice voting and open primaries is complete. The repeal failed by 0.25%. In Wisconsin, 10 additional felony forgery charges were brought against Trump campaign advisors, attorney Jim Troupas, attorney Kenneth Chesbro, and Election Day director Mike Roman. We have links to more on all of these stories at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Send lawyers, guns, and money. Dad, get me out of this.
Let's talk now with former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel, who hosts Amicus, a law review every Saturday morning at 9 o'clock live on stations across the Civic Media Radio Network. Mr. Santel, good morning. How are you?
I am doing well. Good to be with you and Greg once again.
Yes, another beautiful day out there where you are, and a cold, but you know we're inside nice and warm where it counts. So I wanted to start with the public forums that you have been doing, including this most recent one on abuse of power. And I've seen other notes from you about these. Is this something that you started doing when you were done with your U.S. attorney role?
It was and it is. And so what I've been doing usually about twice a year, sometimes three times a year, usually in the past is focused upon the Supreme Court. So we've done usually in the fall time, we do a summary of the cases that are on the docket of the relatively new term of the Supreme Court. And then sometime in May or June, sometimes July, we then do a follow-up to identify and talk about the big ticket items that the Supreme Court has just recently decided. Sometimes there are other events that prompt us to get together. This is one of those. It just occurred to me, consistent with our conversations here on Up North News with you and Greg and others here in Civic Media, just occurred to me that as we come to the end of this year and anticipate a new administration, but there are some things about America that have changed. Some of them remain the same, but some things have changed, and all of them come together. There are actually eight of them, not surprisingly, coming from me, that come together to establish what I believe is going to be a dramatic change in the exercise of power, principally by our executive branch, and yes, it's Donald Trump, but also the administration generally, that we have not seen before in American history. And we can certainly talk about some of those. We've talked about some of those before. It's Supreme Court cases. It's just as you just mentioned. It is congressional action, inaction. It's some things in the Constitution, all of which, when you put the pieces together, are predicting, I believe, a dramatic change. It won't happen at 12:01 on January 20th, but certainly by next year at this time, exercise of executive power by the incoming president, to some extent by the Supreme Court, in ways that we have not seen in 240 years of American history. And so that was the discussion that we had. About 40 people came together and we had a very lively discussion. They're open for the public, no charge, and we have a good lively discussion. We always run out of time, not surprisingly.
I'm not surprised a bit. These are always fascinating topics, and we're going to get into another one dealing with the power of the pardon in just a moment. I'll just say again, though, from my standpoint, something that you said, maybe not at 12:01, but Donald Trump again this week said that, you know, within hours of taking office, he's going to issue a flurry of pardons. He's going to put in place something mysterious that's going to lead to, you know, mass deportations. And again, I don't mean to sound alarmist, but I am sure that Trump and his team are getting ready to make Monday, January 20th, a busy day. And busy is probably the most vague term that I can give. And if ever, even for people that don't follow the news at all, I'd say Monday would be the day to keep your TV and radio on and monitor what's happening out there, because it really could set the tone for the next 2 years until the midterm elections, when maybe a different Congress would exert some checks and balances.
Pat, I think that's absolutely right. I think there are two things to watch. One of them we know from his past inaugural speech. Remember when he talked about America being a place of carnage,
yep,
and destruction, and talked about the need to restore basic fundamental values, which frankly, I don't think have ever been lost. But that's going to be interesting to hear him talk. And then presumably he's going to prepare remarks as opposed to simply riffing as he often does. But I think you're absolutely right. The second principal event, usually inauguration day is kind of a time of
ceremonial, yeah.
Ceremonial, right? We go and watch them go to the balls at night, and you see presidents walk down or drive down Pennsylvania Avenue. Sounds to me as if this is going to be a day of great activity. There is precedent on this pardon aspect. You may recall, many of your listeners probably recall, that way back in 1977, when Jimmy Carter, first day in his office, mm-hmm, in his presidency, he commuted the sentence. He pardoned about 200,000 Vietnam War protesters who had fled to Canada and other places. Incoming president may not do 200,000, but is promising probably 1,300 of the January 6th of protesters, some of whom have been convicted, some of whom have served their sentences, some of whom are in the process right now. That is a huge rule of law impact upon, yes, America. And I would offer, sends a message. Unlike these other situations where you're looking at people who have done things, admittedly committed crimes, have done things in their lives that suggest that they should be granted some form of mercy, what is really a pardon is all about. These are people who are simply political allies of Donald Trump, stated at the lowest common denominator. They attempted to overthrow the government. And it is a stunning thing to think that on his first day of the presidency, those people may have their convictions, their sentences, their charges removed from the public record, a dramatic point in American history.
And contrast that with what President Biden did yesterday, where he commuted the sentences of nearly 1,500 people, pardoned 39 more convicted of nonviolent crimes. And as we know, throughout Governor Tony Evers' time in office, he has now granted 172. He granted 172 more pardons last month, bringing the total number of pardons granted to 1,436. In all of these cases, though, demonstrable efforts by these folks to have turned their life around and, you know, headed on a better path, as opposed to simply forgiving people for trying to, you know, overturn the government. So let's not conflate, you know, what the pardon is versus the abuse of pardon power.
Right. And that's my other concern, is you've got a number here where people will say, well, gee, on December 12th, President Biden pardoned or commuted 1,500 people. Donald Trump is now doing the same thing, but a lesser number. They are not the same, for precisely what you just said, Pat, which is all the people that the President Biden commuted or pardoned just yesterday have done something in their lives to show that the crimes that they committed, number one, they admit to those crimes, which is a significant part of any pardon that's imposed. And number two, there's something about their situation. Many of the commutations that President Biden accomplished just yesterday, these are people who were sent out of our federal prisons at the time of the COVID pandemic. The idea being, let's not spread this horrific disease even right. further. There's been some talk about calling them back into custody, and President Biden saying, no, they have served their time. They've done good things here. Let's move on with this. The pardons also are people, nonviolent drug offenses, many folks, again, who have been discharged from the military because of LGBTQIA, their own status, those kinds of things. Those are anachronistic again, things that need to be taken care of
again,
a long time ago.
None overturning the government.
Exactly,
so hear more from Jim Santel on Amicus Law Review tomorrow morning at 9. Thank you, Jim.
Thanks so much, Pat.
All right, Mark weekend. Jacob is coming up next. You're up north.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Well, it happened again. Another detection of high path avian influenza in Wisconsin. I'm PM Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Friday. The Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection made the announcement yesterday. I've got all the details you need to know next. End of the year savings and hot deals at all Bobcat Plus Wisconsin locations. All new in-stock Bobcat equipment and attachments are marked down and ready to get to work for you. Skid steers, mini excavators, compact tractors, snow removal equipment, and more. As always, full service and parts whenever you need it. End of the year savings and hot bargain Bobcat deals happening now at all Bobcat Plus Wisconsin locations. Visit a showroom in your area or bobcatplus.com. Bobcat, one tough animal. A poultry flock in Barron County is the latest to detect high-path avian influenza. Dr. Darlene Conkle, Wisconsin State veterinarian, says that they are ready to alert any livestock owners in the area about the detection. She said so far, the good news is there's not many animals in the area.
In that area, what we do is, at least initially, establish a 10-kilometer, which amounts to about 6.2 miles, control area surrounding the infected flock, where we will pull premises numbers for poultry and for other potentially susceptible species. I don't have all the numbers to hand just yet. We have looked and we have not determined any cattle in that 10-kilometer area through our premises registration numbers. But obviously there are other poultry flocks in that area as well. That we will be looking at for surveillance and to contact them.
That's Dr. Darlene Conkle, our Wisconsin State veterinarian. The impacted flock is being depopulated in Barron County, and according to Conkle, as of yesterday, USDA had confirmed 95 flocks with high-path avian influenza impacting 10 different states.
Attention farmers and ranchers. The Can-Am Ag and Business Program wants to reward hardworking folks like you. Head to your local Can-Am dealer to find out how you can get extra coverage on top of a rebate of up to $1,500 on select Can-Am Defender and Outlander models. If you've had your eyes set on a Can-Am workhorse, now's the time to get your own. Visit your local Can-Am dealer to add a true game changer to your roster. Certain conditions apply. See dealer for details.
And a Wisconsin soybean grower from Barron County has been named to the American Soybean Association's Board of Directors. Tanner Johnson from Prairie Farm in Barron County has been named an at-large member of the executive committee for the American Soybean Association. Aside from growing soybeans, Tanner Johnson's also involved in producing corn, winter wheat, alfalfa hay, and cover crops. That's a look at food news. I'm Pam Yonke.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be partly cloudy today with a high in the upper teens this afternoon. Tonight, keeping an eye on a system that'll bring some freezing rain and snow after midnight. It'll be light, but it will make roads slick late tonight through tomorrow morning. Tomorrow, some freezing rain and snow with highs in the 30s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 9 below.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Luke Matheris, you let the dogs out.
I let the dogs out. It was me. After about 15 minutes, I go out there and I'm like, what is this mound? An opossum playing dead in the middle of the yard. So I'm out there kind of hollering, like trying to corral the dogs. And then we finally got Aurora to come in the house, stepped away for a little bit, came back and was gone. I really hope that it remembers this traumatic experience and never comes back in my yard again.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we will be recombobulating Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulationary to break down all the news, and we'll wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Join us.
Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings at 10.
It's Taylor Swift's 35th birthday today. You can catch today's history lesson every weekday morning at 6:50 here on Up North News Radio. Again, the grown-up gift list text to win contest. Here's the key word to text this hour, star, S-T-A-R. Text that using the Civic Media app and get yourself in the running for this hour's $100 prize, as well as 8 grand prize winners with different gifts off of the Civic Media grown-up gift list. Your next chance to win is at 11 a.m. All right, we're joined now by Mark Jacob. He's got a newsletter called Stop the Presses. You want to find it? Go to stopthepresses.news, along with his on-target video series with Stephen Beschloss. And I think we'll start there. Mark, good morning to you. You and Stephen were working on, again, the Trump transition. And if I say, you know, another troubling Trump nominee, of course, the natural reaction is which one? In this case, it's the proposed new IRS commissioner.
Yeah, you know, you have to be wondering whether the strategy is to put so many, you know, unqualified, crazy or just extremist nut nominees out there at the same time, you know, assuming that some of them will get through, you know, that. Or that many of them will get through. So this one, the one we focused on in our On Target video was Billy Long. Billy Long is a former Missouri representative, congressman, who in 3 different sessions of Congress proposed to abolish the IRS. So he makes a fine IRS commissioner, right, Pat? Wow. I mean, isn't that
well? That's what again. You've got people that they want to abolish the Department of Education, you know, the Department of Energy, the IRS, and I mean, you are quite literally looking to bring in the wrecking crew. What it is.
Right. Yeah. This guy. And the thing about it is that shouldn't be ignored is not only are they naming bad people to important positions, but they're breaking other norms too. Like, for example, Billy Long, it shouldn't be IRS commissioner. If Trump wants to make him IRS commissioner, we should wait 2 years. I mean, that's one of those jobs that is supposed to be for a specific term, in this case, 5 years. So really the job shouldn't come up for another 2 years, but this is another norm that Trump is breaking, like he is with the FBI director.
I was going to say, why stop there? You got the FBI where the guy he appointed, you know, who still has 3 years left in his term, is stepping down ahead of time. And I have to be honest, I don't know the answer to this. Is this what Christopher Wray is doing, leaving the FBI early? Is this just an act of cowardice and convenience? Or is there something shrewd behind it in terms of how the next person is appointed? Is there some kind of 3D chess that I'm not aware of?
No, I think it's just a bad move. I mean, it's just so bad to see, I think that Ray ought to just force Trump to fire him if he wants to fire him.
Right.
By stepping down, he normalizes it. He makes it seem as if it's a normal course of action when it clearly is not. You know, I'm not a big fan of Christopher Wray. I mean, remember in the Kavanaugh hearings, you know, they had a tip line that was supposed to go to the FBI and they were supposed to look at all these tips about Kavanaugh. And they just didn't. They just took the tips and did nothing with it. And that was under Wray. He's a Republican appointed by Donald Trump. But he wasn't radical enough, I guess, because he didn't put a brick on the idea of actually getting our confidential classified records back from Mar-a-Lago. You know, this idea that, you invaded my home. No, he didn't. No, you stole records. And the National Archives begged you to give them back for months and months and months and months. You refused to. You lied to investigators about it. And then they raided your house. You know, that's the way law and order is supposed to work in this country, but maybe not for Donald Trump.
Well, no, especially if enough people can be convinced, you know, to go along with it because of the ways that they're getting their information. And they're getting their information from, quote unquote, newsrooms or platforms that let's just say, are not exactly run the way that, you know, Edward R. Murrow would have back in the day. Let me give you two examples here. There is, of course, all the people getting information or misinformation through Facebook. And you've got now Mark Zuckerberg putting up $1 million from Meta, the parent company, toward Trump's inaugural. And the thing that sticks out for me about that, Mark, is that, I mean, there was no shame. No shame in a news story that said Zuckerberg donating $1 million to Trump to try to get into his good graces. I mean, it was not that long ago that you would never write a sentence like that, because it immediately said, this is an attempted bribe. Right, and now it's been so normalized.
Well, it's become, and this is the way Trump wants it. You know, it's this mob boss mentality where you just declare that everyone has to go, you know, and worship at your feet. They have to kiss the ring. And that Zuckerberg not only gave the $1 million, but he made a pilgrimage to Mar-a-Lago also. And, you know, and it's the kiss the ring idea. Trump likes to force powerful people to bend the knee to him. And they do, you know, Zuckerberg and Jeff Bezos, they do that kind of thing because they've got big business. They can make or lose a lot of money depending on what the government does. And what Trump has done is set up the entire government, or he will set up the entire government as his own little protection scheme. You know, you got a nice business there. It'd be shame if something happened to it.
Right. I mean, I now sometimes wonder if the breakup of AT&T back in the day, or even the breakup of Standard Oil, you know, a century ago, I now start to wonder if those were just dreams, yeah. You know, of where government would be looking out for the rest of us by not letting companies get to a monopoly size share of the market. So I mentioned Meta as one example of a platform where people are not exactly getting always the most reliable political information. And the other example I wanted to bounce off you is Axios. And our friend Jennifer Schulze called attention to that in social media when Axios ran this headline about a senator-elect who, according to Axios, he's going to push his fellow Republican senators to be more pro-worker and pro-American industry and less pro-Wall Street. That's what Axios says about this guy. His record doesn't indicate any of this at all. And Jennifer is right to point out that Axios is basically just in the business of writing a press release for this incoming Republican senator.
No, Axios disappointingly, Axios is one of those outfits that, on the national level at least, is just trying to suck up to power, you know, and you know, one little exclusive here or there, you know, and they're definitely willing to play ball. You know how the news media works, Pat. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have these aggressive, honest reporters who really go after seats of power when they misbehave, and then you have other reporters who try to suck up to those very same seats of power and make them look good in order to get some exclusive down the road. I mean, those are the two different avenues you can do when you're covering somebody in politics. And obviously one is ethical and one is not. And Axios, you see, there are plenty of examples of them. They're just not stepping up and doing the right thing. But they're not the only ones. I mean, you know, the Los Angeles Times has become a national scandal with how much, you know, that their new owner is, or their owner, he's been owner for a few years now, but he's really sucked up to Trump. You know, he's like killing editorials that criticize Trump and stuff like that.
Just the kind of thing, again, that would have, people would have gotten up in arms about it, but now we just kind of shrug and say, well, what can you do? Because again, there haven't been any consequences about it.
You know, but we have to maintain our outrage. I mean, to me, this is the one thing I think in this whole horrible crisis, political crisis we have now, where really our system of government is under attack, is that we cannot accept this crap. We cannot accept the guy who's in charge of the IRS wanting to abolish the IRS so that rich people can make even more money. We can't accept that. We have to, to me, it's really important in these tough times to maintain our outrage, our capacity for outrage. We have to hold and cling to our values and realize that this is not the way, this is not the country we want. We can do better than this.
Well, and that's where we really depend on journalists, on good, credible journalists to you know, speak truth to power by asking tough questions. And I know regular listeners here probably are tired of hearing me invoke, you know, Tim Russert and Sam Donaldson, for example. But I even think of, say, Jake Tapper, who occasionally shows these moments on his show of, you know, being unafraid to call out politicians. Now, politicians have since learned, and Ron Johnson here in Wisconsin is a master of it, that you just keep talking. You just talk right over the journalist who's trying to, you know, hold you to account and make you own up to a lie that you told. But it's wrong to stop trying. And so I don't know if you have other examples of folks. I mean, I know of folks that I don't think are doing a necessarily great job, but Kristen Welker, who I thought was a fine journalist beforehand, but is definitely not able to do on Meet the Press, you know, as aggressive a line of questioning as is required in that role.
Right.
But I don't want to, we use some of the bad examples all the time. I mean, do you look at one or two others out there and you say, okay, you're like our only hope that when, you know, somebody powerful is going on their show or speaking to their microphone, they're actually going to be called out on their BS.
Well, have you ever seen Mehdi Hasan do an interview?
Yes.
I mean, he's totally has the receipts. He totally knows what, you know, he's got information at the ready. To, but of course MSNBC got rid of them. So that's not really a hopeful example, Pat.
Yeah.
But the thing about Kristen Welker is she asks some hard questions, but she lets so many lies go through unchallenged. So many. And it's one of those things where if she was really doing a good job, do you think Trump would keep on going on her show? And he does. I mean, yeah. It's like, so liars, Republican liars keep on going on Meet the Press. Well, why do they do that? Do they do that because she makes them look bad and embarrasses them and exposes them as liars? No, they do it because they think it's in their best interest. And it is.
Yeah. Mary writes in on YouTube, it's painful watching Kristen Welker and that she misses Chuck Todd and, you know, other people citing that as well.
I miss Chuck Todd, frankly. But.
Yeah. Do we ever? But, you know, what I've said before is that If I could advise any of these shows or anything like that is, let's say it's a 60-minute show, that's fine. Do the interview for the first 30, 40 minutes or whatever, but take the last 10 or 15 and you got the show all to yourself and fact check, you know, the heck out of these things. I want to close on maybe it's a positive note. You had a thread about people in the past looking at the year 2025 and what they thought life would be like. You and I, we would look up old newspapers all day long if we could and just at what people wrote back in the day. And you got a chance to do that. Was that helpful or was that demoralizing when you looked in at old newspaper clips of what people predicted we'd be living like here in the 21st century?
Well, you know, I do love looking at old newspapers, so I do it. No, actually, I was encouraged. There was a guy named A.M. Lowe, who this British futurist, and he predicted the wireless age. 100 years ago, he said, wireless age in the year 2025 is going to be the case. Of course, he also predicted that all men would be bald and that we'd all be wearing one-piece suits, you know, that we would just step into. So he wasn't correct about everything. He also kind of even anticipated smart speakers. He said there'd be a loudspeaker that would take the place of a daily newspaper. So he's a pretty smart guy. Another person predicted that San Francisco would be the largest city in the world. And
it's interesting that he did. I think of like in the Star Trek movies, I think San Francisco is like one of the major cities that they deal with there. So I can see why they would think that. They just didn't get it right that it would be the world's most populous.
Actually, it didn't have much growth potential just geographically in a way. I mean, anyway, but the one that I really liked, and I ended my little thread on Blue Sky with this, was a headline in 1959 that said, 1959 babes have a good chance to live to year 2025, which, yay, but boy, if they knew what it was going to hit them in year 2025, maybe they would have like crawled back into the womb.
I know that. Well, look at that. I mean, that's just that was a big deal to say you are going to live at least till age 65.
Yeah,
you know, which says something about modern medicine and conveniences and things like that. But
oh, you know, RFK Jr. will take care of that long lifespan. You know, we'll make sure we'll shorten the lifespan for sure if that guy gets in.
I'm afraid that may be the case. Mark Jacob, thank you as always. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week one more time before the holidays hit.
See you then.
All right. When we come back, we are going to talk to Dan Schumacher about the weekend in sports coming up on Up North News Radio. By the way, get that keyword texted in yet. Star, STAR. We'll be right back. Did you hear
my covert narcissist? You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matt Nair on air.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
We know what happened the last time Trump applied this ham-fisted tariff policy. He had to write a $12 billion check to farmers because he crushed so many of our agricultural exports and drove up the cost of single-family homes because the cost of lumber from places like Canada went way the frick up. Everything got more expensive.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Pat Kreitlow, all your time in the media, television, radio, what have you, what was one or two of the oddest things that people were complaining about?
As a TV anchor, your hair.
You have some of the finest hair around. How could anybody criticize your hair?
Oh, well, because a consultant forced me to change it.
Were there focus groups?
I'm not aware of any focus groups other than the audience, which universally hated it. It was a bowl haircut.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Time for a little Grateful Dead, our sign that we're wrapping up the week over here on Up North News Radio. Dan Schumacher joining us from Northland College up in Ashland, where, Tony told us it was 4 below a little earlier today. I'm guessing a little steam coming off the off Gitche-Gumee over there, Mr. Schumacher. How are you?
It is. It's steaming. Half the bay is frozen, and the other half is just steaming open water. So,
all right.
It's like -5 right now, and it's supposed to warm up actually right away tomorrow into the 30s, which is a weird shift. But
it is. But we, it is. Theater of seasons we get over here. What Grateful Dead ushers us into today's Dan segment?
Oh, we're playing Big River, but today we're going to rename it Big Frozen River.
That works for me. I saw that they were playing Thursday Night Football. I saw that it was raining to beat the band, but I did not look up the final there. But boy, I mean, you've certainly played in your share of rainy conditions out there, and that's how is that when you're playing football?
You know, I was a guy that, you know, as a receiver, I never wore gloves. But if it rained or there was snow or it was cold, you'd see a lot of guys pull out the gloves. But I've always played without gloves. I'd rather have the natural feel of my hand touching the leather when it hits. But, you know, I never had a problem. And I actually probably had better games as a mutter as anybody. So, heck, the high school my high school championship game, it was a monsoon playing East St. Louis, I had record day in the mud. So, you know, it messes with some guys' minds and some guys they don't, you know. So
was it looks here, the final score last night was the LA Rams 12, the San Francisco 49ers 6. So this looks to be an all-field goal game. Wow. So basically, yeah, your final score was 4-2 in terms of field goals.
That's right. Well,
that's just no fun. And then, of course, we've got the Packers playing on Sunday Night Football. They are going to be in Seattle, and you will be able to catch that game on Civic Media Stations, WRJN in Racine Kenosha, WRCO in Richland Center, WCQM in Park Falls. Pregame starts at 5 o'clock. Where your Bears?
They're all night games lately. I mean, you got Packers night.
This is the third.
Monday.
Yep, this is the third of four consecutive night games that the Packers have got going here. And who knows with flex scheduling, you know, it could be even more so. Your Bears, meanwhile, play Monday Night Football this weekend, coming up next Monday night in Minneapolis against the Vikings.
That tiny head shrug just,
bum, bum, bum.
Well, the game of the week to me is the Bills and the Detroit Lions.
That is going to be fun to watch. It's a 3:25 game on Sunday. And
what's it on?
Yeah. Good question. Don't know.
I think it's a 3:25 game on Sunday.
Yes.
That usually means it's the national game that usually goes to most of the out markets.
It's going to be on CBS.
CBS.
Yep.
There you go.
Hopefully it'll be on Paramount Plus.
So does anybody know why you see the news on Randy Moss?
Mm-mm. No.
No.
He just divulged why he left ESPN. I mean, he was sick. He has liver cancer.
Oh man.
Yeah, that's why he left the TV and the booth and stuff and leave of absence and sick. They kept it real quiet why he left because of an illness, but they finally divulged the illness.
Well, and that really hits those folks at ESPN hard, given that this is the V Week, all about Jimmy Valvano.
Yep.
And, they're very mindful of cancer just sucks. There's just no other way to put it, you know?
It does. Dickie V, though, I saw it on Twitter this morning when I woke up that his PET scan came back positive or negative, I should say, and he's cancer free right now. So he's
good.
Nice. Beating cancer. So it seems like it's going around. I mean, my mother has it, has cancer, and it's just tough to watch and it's debilitating, and hopefully one day we'll have a cure for it all.
Yeah, I sure hope so. NCAA volleyball tournament continues tonight with the regional semifinals. The Badgers play Texas A&M at 6 this evening. Marquette plays one seed Penn State in their regional semifinal. If the Badgers win Friday, they would play Sunday in the regional final against either the one seed Nebraska or Dayton. So it's possible Sunday that you're going to have another Badgers-Nebraska volleyball matchup, and hopefully the Badgers do better than they did the last time that they went up against the Huskers.
I actually caught the Pittsburgh, University of Pittsburgh versus Oregon last night, the volleyball match, and that went five sets. It was a heck of a game and a heck of a match, and my God, those young ladies are so athletic.
Oh, my goodness.
They can jump, and they have eye-hand coordination and lateral movement. It's just amazing to watch them play at that type of level, and I wish my cousin's the head coach at Penn State, so she's got a tough game to hear tonight in the regional. So wishing her luck in the Penn State Nittany Lions moving on. Hopefully they'll have two Big Ten teams maybe in the championship eventually.
Well, they'll have to get through Marquette tonight to get there. The Badger men's hockey team is at Michigan. You can hear the coverage on the Civic Media app starting at 4:30 today and at 5:30 tomorrow. The Badger men's basketball team takes on Butler. Coverage begins tomorrow at 12:30 on several Civic Media stations and on the Civic Media app. And then finally, Dan, we got to close with the excitement that is the NBA's in-season tournament, the Emirates Cup semifinals.
Is that why LeBron...
Sorry, we're trying to gin up excitement. So Greg just hits a random set of buttons on his computer to see what comes up. So it'll be the Bucks against Atlanta tomorrow, and then the championship game will be Tuesday night in Vegas. Yeah, are the Bucks going all the way on this, Dan?
Or who cares?
Or who cares? You can pick either one.
That's the category I'm in right now.
Okay, there we go.
I want to know why LeBron walked away from basketball yesterday.
Okay, now we have another mystery. You were just Okay.
That's what you pay me for. Spring Sports did things on here.
Oh, I've heard it's
tell Dan we don't pay him. All right, Dan. Well, thank you. Have a great weekend. We appreciate it.
Happy holidays, guys. I won't talk to you next week.
Oh, that's right. We'll miss you next week. Happy holidays. Take care up there. All right.
Take it easy, Dan. Have a great holiday.
And then Greg will be back for Matt Nair on Air, and Up North News Radio is part of Courier Newsroom. Enjoy the weekend. We'll see you Monday.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, Nikki Zerjev and I talk about our favorite comedies. Brittany Merlot gives us an overview of the weather this winter. And Terry Barr brings the tunes on a bar band Friday night.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Ho-ho, the holidays are here, and it's time to pick a present from the grown-up gift list with Civic Media's statewide text-to-win contest. Listen while you work for the keywords to text for your chance to win $100 cash, an overnight vacation at Chula Vista Resort, and be entered to win one of the grand prizes, a robot vacuum, new luggage, humidifier, espresso machine, and more on the grown-up gift list at civicmedia.us. Just download the Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 11, 1, and 4 for your chance to win in the statewide contest. Ho-ho-ho!
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Winds have calmed, humidity's risen, paving the way for thousands of people to return to their homes in Malibu, California, after they were driven out by a wildfire. Newlyweds Blake and Michelle Geffen are not among them.
We just looked at each other and grabbed our cat and grabbed a few documents.
The whole sky was basically just pouring over with smoke, red and orange flames.
Burned their home down. The flames now 30% contained. Reports of drones overhead spread from New Jersey to New York City and Pennsylvania.
We saw blinking, like lots of blinking things up in the sky to the south, right over the ocean.
Lisa Franciosi at the Jersey Shore. Federal officials say there are nothing to worry about. Taylor Swift, now Billboard's most awarded musician.
This is like the nicest early birthday present you could have given me. So thank you very much. I love it. It's exactly what I wanted.
She turns 35 today. Swift celebrated with patients at Mercy Children's Hospital in Kansas City. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.